Searchers in the earthquake-shattered Iranian city of Bam have made another amazing discovery. A 56-year-old man was rescued alive from the rubble yesterday afternoon, 13 days after the trembler. Rescuers report he was conscious when they got to him, but has since slipped into a coma. Conventional wisdom has it that trapped people can only survive in rubble for about 3 days, but thus far, a few people have made it longer, including a 97-year-old woman rescued in good condition over the weekend. Dr. Joseph Wackerly, the editor-in-chief of the Annals of Emergency Medicine, joins us now from Kansas City, Missouri, to talk about what determines a person's chances for survival in these circumstances. It's good of you to join us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an interesting study in human beings as to what determines their chances of survival. Certainly the physical makeup of the individual, whether they're healthy, properly hydrated, have enough water, have enough food, and whether they have any other illnesses, in part determines their chances of survival.
Well, apparently the man found today, yesterday, rescuers said he had some source of water. That must have been a huge factor.
Yes. When you look at people who endure more than 72 hours, which is pretty much the limits for somebody without water, they have to have water. You don't need food for a couple of weeks because you can use your internal body stores, but you have to have water. And obviously, he probably wasn't severely injured and had any wounds that might have caused him to die earlier on because he survived that long. But all in all, that's a miracle.
Now, it's pretty cold in Iran this time of the year. Is that a plus factor, or is that going to hurt you? You'd think hypothermia would be a problem.
Well, hypothermia is like all things in life. It has good and bad sides to it. Hypothermia, as you know, if we resuscitate a child who's drowned in cold water or an adult, we have a much better chance of saving them if they're down longer because the cold water slows your metabolism and therefore slows your needs for oxygen, water, and food. In contrast, hot speeds it up. Now, to a degree, that is helpful to slow your metabolism down because of the lesser needs for food and water. However, there's a point at which the balance shifts to the fact that your body gets so cold it begins to shiver and needs more food and water, more energy to maintain body heat and warmth. And if it gets down into that type of a situation, then their chances of survival are diminished.
This man was in his mid-50s. The 97-year-old woman found over the weekend, you would think that younger people would have a big advantage.
Well, that may or may not be true. In my experience with dealing with trapped victims in the short term and the long term, the emotional overlay of a victim, their emotional psyche, is so much more important than people understand. This lady may have been so experienced and so calm and so together, so to speak, to use our kids' vernacular, that she was able to calm herself down, think through things rationally, take care of herself, do the right things, and therefore survive, whereas somebody else who emotionally cannot calm themselves and becomes hyperexcited increases their metabolism. They might increase their blood pressure if they have a bleeding area that would cause them to bleed more, and therefore they, in fact, might have a lesser chance of survival. So the psyche is very, very important. Also, the fact that if you're claustrophobic, can you imagine what it would be like to be trapped?
Now, you've worked on disaster sites, I understand. After that 72-hour period, there's always that transition that we always report on. It's gone from rescue to recovery. After a survivor is found after a long time, 2 weeks, is it heartening to rescue service workers, or is it frustrating to them that there may be other trapped survivors or that they might have missed people?
I think it's a little of both, and that's a great observation, Neil. Certainly, when you're busting your tail trying to rescue people, and believe me, you're exhausted, you're tired, you're hungry and fatigued, you're in a different country, and you're all trying to work together as a team, and you don't have necessarily all the equipment that you might have in a more modern society, you do it all by hand. One person heartens you and causes you to go on and rejuvenates you. At the same time, when you lie down at night or when you're finished, you always think the shoulda, couldas, and wouldas. Mm-hmm. Could I have done it better? Could I have listened more intently? Could I have worked a little harder? Did we leave one person we should not have? And sometime in your life after you do this for a while, you have to come to peace with yourself and say, I did the best I could, and that's the best that could be done at the time, and I live with what happened.
Dr. Joseph Wackerly, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Joseph Wackerly is editor-in-chief of the Annals of Emergency Medicine. He joined us from Kansas City in Missouri. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.